It's gone. Okay, so it's headed out. So first thing I'm going to do is do a roll call. So I do not hear that Bill Crozier's on the line, so I'm going to do roll call. Alan is here. Judon Boney, are you here? Not hearing him. Bill Crozier? Not hearing him. Anissa Faruqi? Not hearing Anissa. Lynn Foley? Not hearing. Tom Harper? Tom Harper? He was on.
Wally Jane.
Okay, Tom.
I'm on the call.
Wally James? Wally James? Okay. I'm not hearing Wally James. Mike Lewis?
I'm here.
Thank you, Mike. Robin Lewis?
I'm here.
Welcome, Robin. Carol McGregor? Not hearing Carol. Darrell Robbins? Not hearing her. Nancy Sabaranaritomi?
Present.
Thank you, Nancy. Wendy Schrell?
Here.
Thank you, Wendy. Deb Shafto? Not hearing Deb. Jim Sheridan? You know, I'm getting return email for Jim Sheridan ever since, I guess, for the last 4 months. And I've tried different phone numbers and different things for him. I don't know. I guess around the time that COVID came, he changed some information. So if anybody hears from him, I really would like to know how he's doing. Venetia Williams? Okay, is there anyone here? And Rob Lee. Rob here. Rob is new. Welcome, Rob.
Thanks.
Welcome.
And is there anyone whose name or who didn't hear your name called?
This is Judon. I'm on the call.
Hi, welcome, Judon. Good to hear you. All right.
What's up, Bob?
So, I'm sorry?
I was talking to Judon.
Okay. So I have sent out the agenda to everyone, and I've also sent out a copy of last month's minutes to everyone. And I thought what we might do is very quickly go over the agenda and also go over last month's minutes, because in the minutes there a lot of people offered to do certain things, and I think that's probably the best way to maybe start is find out who has done what since our last meeting. So I'm looking for my email. My inbox, and I don't see it. Okay.
Question, Teresa?
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm.
When did you send the minutes so I can look at them and find them?
Okay. Well, I just sent them.
Oh, okay.
A few minutes ago. Okay. Okay. So here's the agenda. Call to order and roll call. Approve agenda. Approve the minutes of just 10-6. Of 2020. Item number 4 is a report from the IGM or development director. Number 5 is fundraising, talking about whether that's going to be in January or February. B is December quiet drive. C is email blast and special promotions. D is Giving Tuesday, which is December 1st. E is Hank Lamb's idea, and I guess F would be Nancy Sabaranaritomi's ideas, and I'll have to go to her email for that. Number 6 is outreach issues, which are social media, website, email blast, and any others. Number 7 is new business. Number 8 is set next meeting, and number 9 is adjourn. So
Teresa?
Now I'm yes. Any other items to be added to this agenda?
Yeah. Teresa, all my items are outreach items. One of them is a development a little bit, but I'm not sure. So I'll just put it on outreach.
Okay. All right. Well, let's do this then. We will make Nancy's email. Nancy, if you can send it to me again. If you
can,
send me that email again, I will send it out to everyone so they have it in front of them. Okay, the second,
make a motion to approve the agenda.
All right. Tom moves to approve the agenda. Any objection? Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Okay, so here are the minutes, and I'm going to go through. The meeting was called to order, and I must say, I think it was about 6:05, okay, and I didn't put that in the minutes, so that will be corrected. And present were Allen, Boney, Crozier, Faruqi, Harper, Mike Lewis, Robin Lewis, McGregor, Nancy Sabarnaratomi, Wendy Schrell, Deb Shafto, and Darrell Robbins asked for an excused absence. Because this is a subcommittee of a committee, I don't think we really need to approve an excused absence, but I did make a notation that she had asked for an excused absence because she was working. Okay, we approved the agenda without objection. Tom Harper moved to table the approval of the September minutes, which we did, and we approved that. We approved the, And then Judon gave his report, our interim general manager, one that pledge drive started the next week. We're out of money. He wasn't sure of the date of the pledge drive. Wendy Schrell and Mike Lewis said that the pledge drive started on October 8th, which was the day after, 2 days after the meeting, our meeting. Said that we couldn't broadcast from the station because of the mold, and he was going to talk to Bobby Modad that night about broadcasting from programmers' homes. Wendy Schrell said that she was waiting for the final step to help, John Amella. Judon Boney said he was going to, he asked Wendy to send an email about what she and her son were offering to do so he could discuss that with Bobby Modad. Judon, did that ever get resolved? Did Bobby Modad plan some sort of training to help, or training, or technically did he make arrangements to assist more programmers to do programming from their homes?
If programmers want some training or help, they can call Bobby and set that up. He's available to do that. We'll look at other things as well.
Okay. So you've notified them of that?
No, I have not notified any of that. Working on some other things.
Okay. All right.
You, John?
I also don't have a copy of the minutes. I thought you were going to send that out.
Okay.
Well, I don't have either.
Okay. Well, I will... All right. Well, I am. It's entitled 2020-10-6 KPFT Development and Outreach Working Group Draft.
Did you just send it, Teresa? Did you just send it to us?
It has not.
Yes, I did.
Yeah,
I got it.
Send it again, please. Please send it to jdboney@hotmail.com. That's the main one I use, not just the GM address at KPFT.
Okay. I'm sending it to Nancy again, and I'm sending it to JG at Hotmail.
JDBoney.
Okay. Got it. Anyone else that didn't get it?
And what you're sending to us, Teresa, is the minutes from the November?
This is the
November?
It's the draft October agenda. November. It's the draft agenda, and it's also the minutes. And it has the draft agenda in the email, and also it has a an attachment. So the minutes are in the email and also in the attachment. Okay? So they just went out again to Nancy and Judon, and I've received them twice, so
And I received, I just come in to me. All right.
Okay. All right.
And
well, maybe the first one went out to the wrong email address or something.
Yeah, and also, Teresa, you have two email addresses, so I just want to notify you of that. You have TeresaAllen3@gmail.com, and you have another email address. So that may also cause a bit of confusion.
Okay.
Oh, I
all
just
right,
got
well,
it. I just got it, Teresa. Thank you.
All right, no problem. Okay, so I'm going through the minutes here, and if you'll see, if you go to item number 4, it says Judon Boney will. I think that should read Judon Boney was going to work on with Bobby Modad to make sure that that programmers got trained on programming from their home. Okay, so item number 5 was the fundraiser, and he said that KPFT was in crisis, and he was going to send everyone the $15,000 estimate for the mold problem. And he said that there was a leak in the AC, and someone needed to go to the attic and look at the drainage pan or whatever was causing the problem. He also said he had 2 estimates for electrical problem, and he would be happy to send that to the LSB. Did you ever get those out, Judon?
I don't recall having estimates on electrical. I sent the estimates to everybody for the mold. There were 3 estimates, 2 from certified mold remediation persons and 1 from another volunteer mold expert. And so everybody on the board should have the mold estimates.
Okay. I will look for that. You did tell us at that time, because I just listened to the recording of the thing, that you had 2 estimates for the electrical problem. So you might want to look for that. Then Robin came on, and she said she was going to send an email about the pledge drive to all members the following day to 8,500 people, and I'm assuming she did. And you said at that time, Judon, you said you were going to call major donors that week and send them an email with those technical reports to motivate them to give to the station. Did that email ever go out?
No, it has not, and I have a report on that when I give my report.
Okay. And then you were also going to record an appeal to be played during the pledge drive, and Robin was going to help you with that. Was there ever a personal appeal that was played during the pledge drive?
I'm actually not sure. There have been on call after call after call after call after call. I don't know. I can't itemize these things in my head. So I just got the copy of the draft agenda and minutes from you today. I don't have it. I did a search when you first started talking about this and could not find it in my email. I also checked my junk mail. It was not there either. So, you know, we've just got some things to work out. Are there any other items that you want to report on before I give my report?
Well, if you can, I'd like to approve these minutes, but if we go through these minutes, every time there is 2 asterisks in front of a person's name, they offered to do something. And there's some things that I offered to do, various people in this. If you want to postpone this, but I'm thinking this might be...
Yeah, I just want to proceed.
Then we're going to, if it's okay with everybody, we'll postpone approving these minutes until after the IGM report and the development development director's report.
Teresa.
All right, go ahead.
Teresa,
yes?
There's still the those are still the minutes, but we don't have to ask each person if they did it or not during the approval. We could still approve the minutes and then go to the report after that.
Thank you, Wendy.
All right, that's fine. Okay, so then Robin Lewis confirmed that the pledge drive is October 8th through the 31st. The premiums are 50th T-shirt, a mug, and a mask. Calls Without Walls, ACD is handling the pledges. She had hoped for programmers pitching in. Nancy Sabarnar told me ask about Spanish-speaking agents taking pledges and asked if they that they ask for comments or suggestions from the donors. Robin Lewis was going to follow up on Spanish speakers. Carol McGregor asked how we were monitoring listenership. And Nancy Sibarnar Toma asked if the IGM could give us a report from the Nielsen report. The IGM said the Nielsen reports are not that useful in the pandemic, more important to communicate with our supporters. Teresa Allen asked about the KPFT website and Facebook. Robin Lewis said that KPFT website activity is nil and some birthday and fundraising events on Facebook are useful. She encouraged every LSB and development outreach member to promote the station that way through Facebook, some sort of fundraising events like for your birthday or whatever. The IGM asked Robin to send LSB members instructions on how to do a Facebook fundraiser for KPFT. Mike Lewis already had said at one point, actually he said it at the end of the meeting, that he is already promoting KPFT on Facebook, and he was also doing jousting for KPFT at the Renaissance Festival. Wendy Schrell asked if she could help programmers to add pitches to Facebook and ask people to add pictures and content. And I'm sorry, that's an aside.
Teresa?
I'm sorry. Yes.
Teresa, can we just go to the meeting? I mean, you sent these minutes today, or you sent them before?
I'm almost finished with it. Okay, so let's just proceed. Robin said that we are receiving 2 to 4 cars per month. Item C, special email blast with MailChimp. We're going to go out on the next day. Sandy Wyman's Troubadours and the Round fundraiser. Only about 20 tickets were sold, and Electrolove fundraiser was the next day, which Robin Lewis was promoting. We discussed a little bit about how LSB members can help, but nothing really specific, except for Robin's point. Teresa Allen said she would follow up on how Trump stole 2020 Facebook Live event that she heard that KPFK was going to run. Robin Lewis was unaware of it. Teresa Allen promised to send out a list of proposed events and fundraising ideas that were generated for an October 3rd event that the LSB was involved in. Item number 6 were outreach issues. There was no volunteer currently to help with social media. Wendy Schrell offered to help post if she was given the password, and IGM Boney said that was fine. Teresa Allen offered to try to set up a karaoke event under item C. Any other events to reach listeners? Nancy Sabara Naratomi asked us to promote membership with pictures and stories about the 50th anniversary, and Wendy Schrell was going to try to make that her first Facebook project. There was no new business per se. We set up the meeting for November 17th. And the meeting adjourned at 7:46 p.m. Central, approximately. And then I also attached some of the other ideas that other members had suggested. So is there a motion to approve these minutes?
So moved.
Okay. Is there
I have a motion.
Any opposition? Yes, go ahead, Nancy.
My motion is next time, can we have the minutes done sent earlier, and also the recording posted on the kpfdx.org. Then we don't, if you're slow in getting the minutes, then we can go the recording and listen to it. Or
the recording is on kpfdx.org.
Oh, it is? Okay.
Oh, yeah.
All right, then that's done. So the minutes could be sent a little bit earlier next time, then we don't have to read it during the meeting.
I swear I will try to be better. I always do, and I'm sorry I screwed up. But thank you, Nancy. Okay, so
you didn't screw up.
Well,
point of order.
It's too late. Is there anyone opposed to approving these minutes?
Point of order.
Yes, go ahead, Tom.
I'd like to indicate to everybody on here that Teresa has been busy with the election, and she was not able to get the minutes out right away. So
well,
that's
true. I did come across 17,000 people that wanted to vote where I was presiding judge. So that was pretty exciting.
I'm making a suggestion that we try to understand the situation with Teresa, who is our chair, and please be a little bit more considerate. Thank you.
Well, thank you.
This is Nancy. I have a question.
Go ahead, Nancy.
I thought Bill is our secretary. Did he quit?
Bill is our secretary, and I don't know where he is tonight. At the last meeting, I think he has conflicting meetings. So I don't know where he is tonight. I will send him a text. But
so
yes,
he is or he is not our secretary.
He is our secretary, and he takes the notes and he sends them to me. And he has very thorough notes. So, is there any opposition to approving these minutes?
None.
Okay, so they are approved without opposition. Okay, all right.
Madam Chair.
Yes, Tom.
I make a motion that Nancy be our secretary.
Well, if Nancy, do you want to help take minutes tonight? Up to you. Okay, because you offered to help last time too. I didn't see them, but.
Oh, did I? I'm so sorry if I did.
That's okay. It happens. We get so caught up. Okay, so let's go to. Judon, is there anything else you want to say for your report?
Yeah, there is.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Let me just make a few suggestions for future and give my report. This is part of what is happening, and this is not just this committee, but it's also been some other committees. We're getting better. We're getting bogged down in minutia, and the minutia keeps us from spending time and really investing energy and time in the major issues that are confronting us. So since this is the Development and Outreach Committee, let me just kind of tell you where we are. The radio station was broken in, I'm going to say, about 7 days ago. And there were people sleeping inside the station. The window in the hallway to the studios, the production studios, was broken out. And I've been going to the station, checking in, monitoring it about every other day, at least, sometimes more than that. And I found evidence of where people had been sleeping inside and in back of the station, and the broken glass. We called the police. The police came. They were able to. Bobby was also there, and he was able to see from the cameras and video some of the break-in activity. And the police took a report. They did not arrest and take the two people that were involved in the break-in. They wanted to. They actually said two police cars, one who was a supervisor. The district attorney would not accept the charge. So the police was unable to take them to jail. I spent about 2 hours on this at the radio station with the police. So they were admonished. Sent on their way. We recovered a few things that were in their possession when they were stopped by the police and questioned. Bobby took those few things and put them back in the storage inside the radio station. The computer in the production room, which is the back studio next to the rear of the station, that computer was stolen. It is gone. It at some point will need to be replaced. All of the microphones that were in the on-air studio and production, all of those have been taken up. Everything that somebody could walk away with from the studios has been locked up and secured by Bobby so that can't happen again. one of our he's a board member. I can't remember his name right now. It'll come to me.
Bob Gardner.
Yeah, Bob Gardner. Thank you so much. Came to the studio. He had some plywood that he donated, and he put some plywood up on the outside, and I think on the inside. That was our strategy. I did not check the inside, but I did go back and check it, put it on the outside of where the glass was broken. There's still some more glass that can be broken in that to the production studio, but the glass that was broken in the hallway has been covered, and he secured it on my recommendation with screws, so you couldn't just take a crowbar and easily pry loose the ply board. And he put considerable, I think it is relatively secure, as much as we can without putting up burglar bars for the moment. So that is something that, we've been dealing with. We have in the lobby soda water and snacks machine that people could get in the lobby on the first floor of the front. That was broken into. Glass is still on the floor, and all of the snacks and I guess whatever money was in the machine, all that's gone as well. That has been stolen. Bobby is still reviewing, and we have, and of course we'll make available to the police anything that we're able to determine additionally of other people who may have been involved in the theft to the police. I have shared my contact information. The police have shared their contact information that were called to the station, and they said they would be driving by, checking in back of the station from now on the for the short term to just provide some extra drive-by security to look at the station. They're trying to be very, very helpful. So that is that. Now, on the money situation, we have raised, according to Robin, approximately $75,000in the fund drive. That will carry us with our current budget and expenses essentially through the month of December. In January, we will be out of money unless we raise some more money or get some more money from somewhere. The on-air solicitation, the major solicitation for funds, that ended on October 31st, and you've got a pretty good up-to-date report that I just gave you, how much we raised. On Robin's assessment and recommendation, we don't want to have live, hard fundraising every month because people get donor fatigue. And so we're just quietly reaching out to some people to, ask them to raise some money. One reason why I did not call the major donors is I wanted, because this is kind of a one-shot deal to major donors, that I wanted to be able to give them a complete assessment and report of all of our financial needs and issues and problems at one time so they could understand the magnitude of the issues, not just operations. So we got broken windows. We got security issues because you could still break into the station by breaking into the glass door that is in back. So the least expensive way of solving that would be burglar bars on the windows and the back glass door. That would cost money. The cheapest estimate, don't have it in writing, but in talking to some people, to do that is around $300 to $500. We don't have that, but that's about what it would cost to just secure the building. Now, in going into the building again, the mold problem has gotten much more severe. Much more severe. I have pictures that me and my wife have taken. I will send it, all of them, to the entire board. The mold is so severe that you can be 3 feet or 4 feet away and see the mold on the chairs, in the studio, on the microphone, on the walls, on the ceiling, everywhere on the first floor, the mold is whatever. In evaluating particularly the mold issue Teresa clearly indicated the source of the mold is some leaks in the air conditioning. Don't know where yet. And let me just let you know, because some people keep saying, well, we've been talking about this. That is correct. But with respect to the mold, people don't want to do that for free. So in other words, when we say to folks, you know, could you come and evaluate the roof and give us a projection on fixing the roof and the leaks, they say, you know, well, actually that's work, and we charge for that. Of course, we don't have money for that. The same thing with the mold. We got two professional mold assessments, and National Pacifica paid for one mold evaluation. It's in writing. We got a second one that KPFT paid for. I think that was about $5,000+. So understand that these professional licensed electricians, roof specialists, and mold folks to do the professional written assessment costs money, which, of course, we don't have. But we do have some of these things. The electrical situation seems to be okay for the time being. Somebody, we don't know who, went up to the station and did something with the electrical box. I don't know who. It was not authorized. It appears to have been okay and resolved, but I can't report on that because I don't know who did that. So I just don't know. But it seems to be okay for the time being. I don't have any projections or estimates on the roof because the leak appears to be from the roof and from the air conditioning leak. Now, bottom line, with all of this input and everything I said about the building, it is now my suggestion, and I will continue to report this to the board, that it costs too much to fix the building. The building needs to be leveled and rebuilt, or we need to identify a new location to broadcast live from. And I've been investing some time and energy in identifying some possibilities there. We have one or two possibilities that I am further investigating, and I'm not ready to report on those at this point, but by next meeting, those reports on those possibilities of other locations or remote broadcasting from home by our programmers will be made available to everybody on the board, and we'll see about executing that. There is a solution, partial solution, that our New York station is using to broadcast remotely, and some of that is applicable to KPFT, and some of it is not. I have had Bobby Modad, our engineer, on the phone with our other Pacifica engineers. They are talking and collaborating. They understand the little unique engineering issue that we have, so we cannot just do what they're doing in other cities in Houston. It's not quite applicable, but we're trying to work through that. So that's where that is. Are there any questions?
What about the bad news?
Let me ask one quick question. Thank you, Rob, for that. one quick question. So we've known that there's something that causes a water leak that causes the mold, and it has been suggested over 10 times, I'm sure, in a variety of meetings, that it was the air conditioning unit, that maybe it's the drip pan or something. But since May, since we knew we had the problem, we have never had anyone look at the air conditioning unit?
No, you have to go up into the attic to really look at the air conditioning unit, but we've determined that it's not just the drip pan in the air conditioning unit. As I mentioned in previous meetings, I had that problem at my home. The mold problem is not just the drip pan and the air conditioning. It's everything. The building is, it was
caused. If there's just something that's plugged on the air conditioning that is causing a backup of water,
That's why I'm trying to ask everyone to let me finish what I'm saying.
Okay,
Teresa, you're interrupting me. All of these things have been thoroughly by multiple people, our engineer, our volunteers, myself, and others, thoroughly two or three times investigated, if not just the drip pan in the air conditioning unit. It is the roof leak. We might need a new roof. It may be able to be patched. I don't know. But I'm telling you, and I want to reemphasize this, these are not minor problems. The building is unusable. You fix one thing or patch one thing, something else emerges. Essentially, the building needs to be abandoned, torn down, and a new building built. That's the bottom line. I'm not happy about that. I wish it wasn't so, but I'm just trying to give you guys the information straight. If you want someone else that will volunteer, that wants to go look at something at the station, I'm happy to open the station up and let them do it. But it's not going to result in anything. I've really invested a lot of time and energy making sure that it is as bad as it is.
Okay.
Any other questions? Yeah, this is Wendy. Hi, Judon. I just get so angry thinking about the station being broken into. You said that the only thing that wasn't recovered was the computer from the production room? Is that correct?
Bobby has an itemization of equipment that may need to be at some point replaced. The new generator that we bought, I don't know, a year ago, 9 months ago, that had previously been stolen before I came on board almost a year ago. So we don't have a generator. The big new thing that was stolen that we have not recovered is the computer. And that's as far as I know at this point.
I don't think it was a super fancy computer or anything, but what I do want to know is the things that people were using it to record, all the files, the intellectual property, that is stored on a network drive somewhere, right? It wasn't in the computer, so that it's gone now. I believe it would be on a network drive someplace.
Yeah, the theft of the computer is not affecting operations at all. Bobby is handling that, and that is going, you know, there's no issue or problem with that.
Yeah, because I don't think that a computer is even that much money, but a microphone, you know, is a lot more of the kind of microphones that we need for radio stations.
Bobby has put the microphone, he's locked them up and secured them.
Okay.
The computer was the main that I can identify at this time from the theft.
Okay.
Question? Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry, Quinn.
Well, I forgot what my next one was. Go ahead, Nancy.
I'm sorry.
Judan,
yes. I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done that. Judan, could you ask Bobby to make an itemized kind of, he is making a report, right, but some kind of itemized list and that could be presented to us at the board meeting or whenever. So we have some idea. Maybe some of us have things that we can contribute. You know, like Deb said, she had a microphone she wants to get rid of that she's putting her earrings on. It was George's. She wanted to give. Anyway, could we see a report from Bobby later on? That's all.
Yeah, I will ask Bobby again about that. This is just so that you guys know kind of what's happening with our limited staff, because I've had some extensive discussions with them. Our issues are so significant and so major. We just don't have enough people, time, energy, and expertise to do a lot of minor, minute things that don't address the big thing. So what Bobby is focused on right now is what we need to do to be able to allow our programmers to be able to broadcast from home, remotely from home. So these other things, while they are important, are significant. What we've identified as our primary issue is being able to talk to people live, not only for fund drive, but for programming, and to do that from home. There are multiple ways to do that, and that's what Bobby's priority is, not to say that these other things are not important also.
It seems like that's a one-day job, though. We have so many people that want to help. He just needs to trust us and let us help, you know? That's the thing. But anyway, I'm glad to hear that that's a priority now.
Yes.
I don't mean to be disrespectful if I am. We just have the same conversation every month, you know? And
I'm not suggesting that anybody's being disrespectful, thank God, on this meeting. It's just that we have a lot of issues, and everybody does not have the same information at the same time, so we end up repeating ourselves, some of us, some of the time. But it's okay. We're working through it, and I'm all in doing the best I can, and I'm happy to answer questions.
Judan.
Yes.
This is Captain. The security issue on the station, may I make a suggestion?
I'm listening.
Would you please be able to put no trespassing signs around the building? That would help in case anybody decides to break into the building, that trespassing sign will help you be able to prosecute that person. That's number one. Number two, instead of the burglar bars that you are talking about, why can't you just use the plyboard that's used to secure the window?
Let me investigate that with Bobby. I don't have a problem with the plywood. I think that that's a reasonable suggestion. And I think it was it Hank? Is somebody mentioned the name that put the plywood up?
Bob Gardner.
Yeah, let me ask Bob if he can help address that. And hopefully we can find enough money so that he doesn't have to go in his pocket. Bob Gardner, plywood on everything to secure the rear of the building and
right.
the glass. That's good.
Right.
No trespassing signs, the same thing. If somebody will donate some trespassing signs to us, we'll get them up.
So I will go out and buy you no trespassing signs, Judon. I will do that myself personally.
Thank you, sir.
You are welcome.
I'm brand new, but I don't know if I could comment and interpret any. This is Rob Lee.
Go ahead, Rob.
Okay. I mean, what I just heard Judon say is that this building is not able to be occupied. I do have a little familiarity with mold, but then I also know that buildings, despite the fact of KPFT's history and everyone's memories there, at some point organizations need to consider, should I stay or should I go, if we remember that song. And the question that I would say is, should Judon, as acting interim manager, appoint a committee to study this so that the responsibility is passed on to some sort of other group to be able to decide what is best? My perspective on this is, I was involved with Amigos de las Americas for many years. On their international board, and they're headquartered here in Houston. We had a building here for years and years and years. At one point, it became obsolete, and it was hard to sell, but we did sell. And again, we owned the building. That gave us a big chunk of money and helped us. I know this building is pledged, but again, what I'm hearing is, it sounds like there needs to be a review of whether or not this building should be repaired, and at some point you shoot the horse with the broken leg.
Yes, I think your assessment and analysis is on point, and I'll just give an outline of what I see at this point. There are some foundations that I am aware of and I'm looking at and have some relationship with, to basically say to them in writing, we would like the foundation to donate major, hundreds of thousands of dollars to KPFT for these issues, primarily to move to another location as opposed to putting money into trying to remediate these issues at the current location. That is what I've been putting time into and am trying to execute. There's another underlying issue here. One, KPFT does not own that building. That building is owned by Pacifica. So the local station board can't do anything with regard to that property or the facility, because the ownership legally is with Pacifica. So the Pacifica National Board has to decide what they want to do with any of those physical assets. That's the way it is, and nothing I can do about that. Maybe that's the way it should be also. I'm not even arguing that point. So when we get into our group locally trying to figure out a solution, we end up having to go back to the Pacifica National Board to discuss, resolve, decide what we can and can't do. We have local board members who are on the Pacifica National Board. They are generally aware of this, and these discussions are happening nationally. I'm not participating in them, but they have my input, and they know how to make things. So that's kind of the situation we got going. The building, by the way, and property is also leveraged as an asset for a loan that the Pacifica National Organization got for Pacifica. So they can't use these physical property assets for anything until that loan has been repaid or otherwise resolved. And the Nationals had money problems as well. And what happened was that loan was extended for another year. So it's and so that was going to come due in the spring. So a year from the spring, February, March, then that note comes due again. So we have a year to address with the Pacifica loan, of which the physical property that is the physical location of KPFT may or may not come part of a solution or available. Other questions? Or comments?
This is Nancy. Yeah, Nancy. I'm sorry, I want to switch back to the point that Wendy had asked first, and I don't think I got a good answer, but she was wondering if the master files of our programming was on that computer that was taken, and if it was there, well, it may be too late now to do anything about it, but just wondering what were the master files taken, and if they were on that computer.
No, as I understand it from talking with Bobby, and I had a two-hour conference call with Bobby today. All of the computer files of KPS are secure, and Bobby has them there. No issues with that at all.
Oh, good. Okay. All right.
This is Teresa. May I ask a couple questions?
Sure.
Okay, so these items, like the microphones that have been secured, are they secured in the building?
Bobby has secured them. Bobby would have to say where they are.
Like at a rental place? You don't know where this equipment is?
No, it's not a rental place. Bobby has secured them. I don't personally know where they are. I know that they're secured, and he's taken and stored.
Okay. But what about the equipment, the equipment from Galveston? That's worth thousands of dollars. Where is that?
We don't need to say on the in the meeting, do we, Teresa?
Well, I'm asking.
There are no issues.
Somewhere?
Whatever. We're going back in something that has not been relevant for the year that I've been here. So whatever happened with the equipment in Galveston, whatever was done before I got there, I don't know, but there's no current Galveston equipment issue problem.
Okay.
So it
all
is
right,
secured.
Well, I'm sorry. The only reason we're discussing this is I mean, this is a development committee, and the only reason we've spent like the last half hour talking about the theft and the mold is because you said that you had not sent anything out to major donors because you wanted to get everything together to give them the complete picture before you sent a letter out. So that's who brought the subject up. So
what
I'm
does that have to do with Galveston? I'm not understanding.
Well,
what does that got to do?
At this point, I wonder, do we have an inventory list of what is in the building? What equipment we do have?
This is not appropriate for this meeting, I don't think.
Yes,
yeah.
Thank
well,
you, Wendy. I second
needless
that.
To say, yes.
I know. But I don't know. There's a different way to do it, I think.
What intrigues me, what would interest me from the point of view of development and fundraising is when this letter is going to go out to major donors, how much we made at our pledge drive, how we could have improved upon it, and moving forward, we have some other ideas. I never have quite understood whether an appeal from our general manager was ever made during this past pledge drive.
So let me respond to some of this. So Robin has composed, I believe, two pretty effective major donor solicitation and sent them out. And Robin is best to give a report on that.
Okay.
As opposed to me. So at some point, Robin, if the development is trying to raise money, Robin needs to be involved in that discussion because she can explain what has all been right. done, what hasn't been done. That has nothing to do with a transmitter or antenna in Galveston. And so I don't even why that is even coming up. Now, the letter that Robin wrote, and I said, you know, put my name on it. It's not the only thing different in a solicitation letter, the major donors or anybody else, is my name. And my name for raising money for KPS can be put on anything that is sent out. I mean, you know, so I would imagine Robin has done that. I don't know because I'm at the station trying to have the police arrest the people that broke into it and trying to figure out how we're going to lock up the plywood on the building so nobody breaks in again. So me, I can't sit down and write another solicitation letter when I'm driving to the building to try to find out who's in the building stealing equipment. So that's what I'm saying. Okay. Having a list of 50 suggestions or things that need to be done and then giving me another list of 10 things, not just for me, but for Bobby, but for Robin, or for Marquise, that is not the way to go. What we need to focus on, and this is for everybody, is what are the three or four major things that need to be addressed and done so we can collectively work on those three or four things and get them completed and then go down a list. Trying to do 20 things is not going to work.
Okay, Teresa, can I ask one last thing? Because, Judon, I don't think there's three or four. I think there's one thing, and that is because part of the big appeal of our station when you're making pledges, and even they did it on KUHF too, is the real-time part of it, you know, where you hear, oh, you know, so-and-so just gave $100, and they're challenging all the, you know, redheads to pledge too, you know, and that kind of stuff that happens in a live pitch. What is the next step on getting it so people that can broadcast from home?
That is what Bobby
is waiting for.
Yeah, we're not waiting on anything. That is what Bobby is working through with our other Pacifica engineers to see how we can do that as quickly. In other words, being able to broadcast, solicit, or anything else remotely from home. That is a question for Bobby, and he is working on that. We discussed that today.
Okay.
Could I ask another question?
Wait, let me finish this. The big appeal is we'll be able to get money flowing in if we can tell the people what we're doing. I mean, you got to be careful when we're at this point where everything is so, you know, doing this landslide thing where if you who wants to throw good money after bad, you know? So we have to have some positive accomplishments on what we're doing to get out of it. So that's all I just want. To me, the most important thing is just getting some live broadcasting on the air because there's so much news going on all around us. I don't want to turn off a station that's doing it to listen to one that's playing reruns, and I'm on your board, you know?
Yep. And I totally agree with you.
Yeah.
I totally agree. Yeah.
Okay.
Next question.
Rob, did you want to say something?
I'd like to ask a question.
Oh, Mike. Was it Mike or Rob that wanted to say something?
Mike.
It was me, but I'll wait.
Go ahead, Rob, and then we'll go to Mike. Go ahead, Rob.
Mine was just very quick. While we're looking to get everything going on home broadcasting, I think about the time when there were hurricanes. Would something like University of Houston Broadcasting, or would there be some group that would allow KPFT to operate from there on a temporary basis, whether it be for fundraising or other types of issues until we could resolve our own issues.
I don't think the universities are an option at this point, because they have legal and political and other issues as well. I used to work at Texas Southern University and KTSU, so I have some history with them. You know, their licensing problems, their legal problems, and KPFT and Pacifica basically are kind of on their own at this point. But I mean, that's a nice suggestion idea.
You could check Houston Media Source, perhaps.
Okay. I tell you what, Rob, let's talk after this meeting, and we will maybe come up with some ideas, and I can help follow up on it, okay?
Perfect.
All right, let's talk about that. Okay, you should have my email now that I sent you an email. Okay, Mike Lewis.
Hello, Judon. One way to possibly secure the back area, I know it might cost some money, but instead of using plywood or burglar bars, is there a way that they could put up some plexiglass, and that way that it'd be a lot harder for them to break in? And it's, you can get plexiglass that is stormproof, that can go through hurricanes and tornadoes.
Okay, if you can send me some information at like a plexiglass place and help me get some estimates, I'll look at that as well.
Yeah, no problem. I'll start doing the research tomorrow. This is like the storm plexiglass, and in an emergency, if there's a fire or anything, you can push the windows out from the inside.
Yeah, that's another issue as well. Thank you for mentioning that, Mike. We're not supposed to put double locks on both sides, like key locks on the outside and inside, because fire code says that you have to be able to get out from the inside. And so those are other issues. But, yes, thank you. Right. And my email address is jdboney@hotmail.com.
Okay, I'll look into the storm windows.
I want to move on. I think we're getting into too many specifics, and I want to end this meeting in about 45 minutes. So I do want to say, you know, I have we did have someone on our local advisory board. He was with Compaq Computers. He got us a number of computers, and maybe Bobby, because that's his line of work, would have an idea of where he can go to solicit some refurbished computers. This might be a good time to apply for them if we want people to do more remote programming. I think we just need to find the best person that is on the staff to go after them. That might be solve some of our problems. If Judon's finished, then maybe we can have Robin make a report before we can get on to item number 5. Robin, do you want to say anything?
I can pause.
Oh, do you have anything else to say, Judon?
No, I think that's it. That's it for now.
All right. Okay. Go ahead, Robin. Did you want to say anything before we get on to these other items?